Greet each one of you this morning in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus. We are gathered this morning in a way that we don't normally gather, and yet we also recognize that as we have a sister before us here, we shall all, if the Lord tarry, go likewise. So we recognize that. Welcome to every one of you. We appreciate you coming. And we're blessed to see some of you who have traveled a distance to come here. We're glad to have you here and hope you can feel welcomed and comfortable. I'd like to just give you one verse that as I pondered what we have before us here this morning. This verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Some versions would say, we have this treasure in jars of clay. This morning, as I look back here, there's one seat missing. Grandma Pat was usually sitting right back here. That treasure in that jar of clay is gone. The jar of clay is still here. But we have much to treasure still from our interaction, from our fellowship, and from our knowing Grandma Pat. There are several grandmas here this morning. But I think it would be safe to say that if I would say who was the living hope grandma, there would be no one else to take the place of Grandma Pat. She was the living hope grandma. We all knew her as Grandma Pat. And that treasure in that jar of clay was special. And we will continue to treasure that specialness that we've had the privilege of having among us. We're blessed and privileged. Our thoughts and condolences are with the Brown family here. We continue to pray and wish you well during this time. I would like to just for the order of the service, give you a bit of what is planned so that you can understand what is happening. So immediately following me taking my seat, Brother Levi Stoner will lead us in some congregational songs. And following that, her sons, Dana and Duff will have some memories and thoughts to share with us, and they will come in that order immediately following the songs. And then after they are done, Brother Mark Brubaker will have the message. After he is finished, I will then come back up and we'll have the obituary following a final viewing for everyone here. And then we'll have a graveside service. Brother Amos Glick will have that followed by the burial. After the burial, we will have a meal prepared here for everyone. Everyone is welcome, encouraged to stay and for that. So with that, I'll look to Brother Levi to lead us in some songs.
In the Christian hymnary 329, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known. Christian hymnary 329. Singing these songs, we can hear Grandma Pat's testimony, and it's powerful for this whole group here to be singing it as our testimony. I know whom I have believed. And 443, oh happy day that fixed my choice. The choice that Grandma Pat made to follow God. She was a communicator. And the other Sunday when we stopped in for a few minutes to stand around her bed, she had just woken up from a long nap. And the one thing that she did say that she was able to say clearly, I want to tell you all about it. And God was giving her the gift, I think, of those heavenly visions. And just a powerful testimony. I want to tell you all about it. Oh, happy day.
Ooh, ooh. Oh, happy day.
Nearer, still nearer. Nearer, still nearer.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Dana Brown, Duff's brother, son of Pat Wright. We'll get into the names later. I do want today to be a celebration of Mom's life. Not a sad day. She loved this family and her families in Virginia, as well as her own natural family. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the younger days for my mother. Let's start with her birthday, 8/16/32. For anybody that loves math, that's just a wonderful birthday. Once you've heard it, you can never forget it. 1932, just a few years after the Great Depression, she was living in Indiana, Ohio. Madison, Ohio. Small farm, two sisters, mom and dad, and became very very self-sufficient at that time, as many people did, had to, because there were still many, many years from recovery and growing out of that depression. So they grew their own crops, they got their own milk, they shared amongst themselves, family and community. Frugality was a part of her life growing up, as many people in that area. She did have a couple of sisters, as I said, Jan and Marilyn. She had a pony. I'm sure she's told some of you about her stories. She learned a very valuable lesson in life, never to surprise a pony if you're behind her. because you will get kicked. And that happened to her. No cars, no TVs, horse and buggy. She went to a high school, Andrews. It was a high school just for women only. And she's very active in sports, very athletic, which was unusual for that time. I'd say she was a very independent person throughout most of her life, whether she was in relationships or not. She went on to Bowling Green University. She received a teaching certificate degree and went on to become a teacher, moving to Virginia just before I was born, and taught there for a little while. But actually, again, going back to her independence, became the very first female real estate agent in Augusta County, Virginia. I would say she's would be classified as a feisty redhead for a lot of her life. She had various different relationships throughout her life, but I would say that the latter half of her life, she was pretty much independent. She was on her own. She was living with my brother and his wife and family and making new families with everybody here. You notice her last name, Wright. She started out as a Jones. She became a Brown. She became a Jones again. She became a Wright and then a Jones. Our family tree is fairly unique, and I think Kathy's sister, Anne, is starting to work on that a little bit and look at some of the interesting things. She's very active politically in her life as I was growing up. She loved sailing. She loved traveling. She loved history. She was always kind of on the cutting edge of different things. One of the first people in our family to really dig into and learn about supplements, natural supplements. I remember my wife, when we first got married, she always kind of thought it was interesting that, almost funny that, that Pat just was take handfuls of different pills and vitamins and different things. And now my wife has started to look into that as well and is taking handfuls of pills and vitamins and supplements. So I wanted to express my thanks to everyone here and in Stewart's Draft, Virginia. She just loved being as part of this huge family in both places. She absolutely adored the title of Grandma Pat, and she just owned that. And she loved having all these kids that she could tell stories to. And it was just very comforting to me to know that she had this huge family, this huge support system here that would watch after her and love her and make her a part of a family larger than she ever could have expected to have. So I just express my sincere gratitude and love to everybody that was a part of her life. And, you know, I'd love to hear some of the stories that she shared with you as we go through the day. Thank you.
Well, I'll try to keep it to 5 minutes. Yes, good morning to you. It is good to have everyone here and to share in this time together. Caring for Mom would have been so much more difficult if we weren't part of such a wonderful community. The blessing that so many of you have been to us in doing things little and big, it's hard to say thank you enough. We had a very precious time together, Kathy and Mom and I, as Mom quietly came to the end of her life in this life. And I reflected on how interesting her pathway was. Her growth in Christ was wonderful. when we moved back from Thailand and realized that Mom had some serious health challenges, she became part of us, joined us up in Michigan for an interesting winter, coming back from Thailand and then coming home to total snowfall that year of 120 inches, 10 feet of snow. Not all at once, but maybe that would have been okay. It came enough that you couldn't get around for a little while, and then once that was cleared, that we got more. But when she came down to join Stuart's Draft congregation, I think to her, our lifestyle, our belief system was still, well, that's Duff and Kathy. But as she began to know people and learn more, she grew. She grew to love the Bible, to read God's word, and learn new things. Almost every time she read something, she would raise her eyebrows and say, I didn't know John the Baptist was in prison. I didn't know this. And if you have had a chance to listen to her baptismal message that Brother Simon preached, we have seen growth through that time, and even as we moved here, growth in a desire to submit and to be more Christ-like. It was just beautiful. It was interesting in her booklet that was used for the instruction class, there's a question: do you have the hope of going to heaven? Write why you think you will go to heaven. This is what she wrote. First, because I have repented of sins that I know of and believe that Jesus Christ died as a pure sacrifice so I could be forgiven. All my life I've tried to be kind and truthful and realize that I fell short many times, but I've asked for mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and he will save me and give me salvation. What a wonderful testimony. And so I ask all of you who have gathered together today to celebrate with us Mom's continuance of her eternal life. Are you prepared for the second part of this journey of life? For many of you, children, adults as well, Mom prayed. It was really amazing. Sarah said she came downstairs when she was living in the downstairs apartment from them to do something, give her something, and she heard Mom praying. Mom prayed a lot. But my mother most likely has prayed for each one of you. And her prayer would be that you would commit to follow Jesus as she did, and that you would join the church and be one with us in following Christ. So I leave that challenge with you. Thank you again for coming, and God bless you.
As has already been mentioned, we knew her as Grandma Pat. As I was considering this situation, this verse came to me. It's in Psalms. It reads like this: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. I sat here this morning and something just seemed like I was missing something. And then it came to me, well, we are missing something. We're missing Grandma Pat in her living body. I want to say also, I want to welcome all of you, every one of you. I welcome you here. Appreciate the response from Stuart's draft. I'm assuming she obviously was a, what would you call her? She made an impression. You obviously loved her, and I'm sure she loved you. And we offer to you also, Brother Duff and family, Dana, our sympathy and our prayers too. She sat back here, probably six rows back or so, nearly every Sunday. And I am assuming she probably did this the same to all of the speakers and ministers that ministered messages. I think without fail she said, "Thank you for the message today." We knew her as a sister. The Lord knew her as a daughter. You've heard some of her background. And she has, I think, I forget who it was this morning I was talking to, they said, there's been quite a transformation in her life. Going from Presbyterian, going from finding her way, going from that realm and area of lostness without salvation to a place where she is saved. I don't know where she's at today. Her soul. Lots of different opinions on that probably. And I don't know that we need to figure that out. Because I think we all agree on this one thing. That the Lord Jesus is taking care of her in some way. I think it's fitting and proper to be solemn. I think it's right to see this occasion as a solemn occasion. Not necessarily because we lost her from our presence, but it's just simply a reality of someday we all, in some way or another, will have a body like hers. Lifeless. That can bring solemnity to us. There's also proper, as I think Dana mentioned, it's a joyful time that we expect. If she could say to us today, she said, like Jesus said, "Weep not for me. But weep for those who have not yet made that transformation." So this morning, as we look at and think about what we have before us here, it's right for us to take some time and just reflect on her life It's also right for us to take some time and reflect on our life. This is reality, really. We stand here, and when you all are here, not knowing when this time will come for you. You don't know. But in some way or another, it will come. And I like to talk about that. Title of the message is, I titled it first, From Hope to Glory. But maybe it's almost From Hopelessness to Glory. I'll restate my message, my text here. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He has now called them home. They're his. There's no more option or opportunity for them to fall away. They're his. I think that's one reason why it's so precious to him. They have, that soul no longer is subject to the world and the devil and temptations and sin and falling away. That soul is no longer subject to that. That soul has made its choice here in life. And now that soul, Grandma Pat's soul, and our souls when we die, we have the opportunity now to make sure and make very clear and very real that we have an assurance of salvation. We have it today. That's something to be joyful about. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because no longer are they subjected to temptations. We sit here today. Time is passing. The world, I don't think I'm overstating it to say the world is in a mess. The world. That place out there where everything is going on. The world is in a mess. Okay. But we're not in the world. We're not of the world. We have something different. We have a different kingdom we're living for. We have a different world. We have a world in front of us. We live in this world that there is opportunities of joy. There's opportunities of happiness. There's opportunities of looking at things from an optimistic perspective. We have that opportunity today. The world, and then there's God's kingdom, the church. So I think I need to say this, and I well could be preaching to the choir. My friend, if you have not seen the light of eternal hope, if you have not realized the power of the Holy Spirit, have you not accepted the reality that you are or have been, were lost, that there is an eternity, and that there is a time when you will pass from life to eternity, and you'll go one place or the other. You go to be with the Lord. Or not. There is a Savior. There is a way to escape eternal damnation. Hellfire and torture, it looks to me like the scriptures are clear that that never ends. That's serious. That's the time for us to be sober and look at life and the future. But, as we know, there is hope beyond that. There is an opportunity for us to make things right. We can put ourselves in a place where we can be saved. We can not go into that realm and that place of eternal torture and eternal damnation. We can find a way out of that. That's the joyful thing we have to tell you this morning. And let me tell you, his name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the salvation. He is what can take us from this world of degradation and woe and hell to a place we hardly know how to describe. John says, "For God so loved the world, He so loved His creation, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Hallelujah! That's our hope. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we live the way we live. That's why we have given ourselves to Him to guide our lives and let Him have His way in us. That's why we deny the flesh. That's why we do not let the flesh have its way. That's why we take these decisions we have, these choices we have, and we make a choice for what is right. And it's not always what the flesh likes. But we choose, rather, to follow Christ. And He said, "Follow me. Follow me." Here's hope. That's hope. Isaiah, he says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of His understanding?" There's no end to His understanding. We cannot reach the end of His understanding. "He giveth power to the faint. He, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall be faint, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This is what Jesus did for me. This is what Jesus is doing for you. This is what God says, this is truth. If you will believe that there is an everlasting God, and He sent His everlasting Son into this world, we might have everlasting life. Jesus did this. He says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. May we all, may every living soul that ever lived, and they will, bow down in reverence and in worship to Him. They will. Someday we will. Whether we do it now, whether we do it in the future, someday He will rule everything. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Hebrews 9, he says, I think this was mentioned already, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." There's coming a time. This is our hope. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we have hope of eternal life. You know, I've wondered before in my own heart. So life, okay, I like life. I'm not wanting to go anywhere. But at the same time, if there's, when life ends and there's nothing else, okay. But that's not the way it is. There is something beyond this life. We do have something that God has given us responsibility for. Romans says, when we think about hope, when we think about beyond this life, we talked about those things that if we don't accept Jesus Christ, we have no hope. We do accept Jesus Christ, we have all hope. We have hope of eternity. Eternal. Lasts forever. And what's more, there'll be no more crooked fingers. Probably all of you, everyone's in here has seen Grandma Pat's hands. I don't know if they hurt her or not. I don't know. We have hope beyond this. Life. Life eternal. And not only life eternal, but life with our Maker, our Creator, with the Almighty God of heaven, the one who sent His Son and His Son Himself who came down here and died for us. I can have life to live with Him. I ask for no more. I could ask for no more. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 15 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, because you have believed, you've had faith, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost," that you may abound in hope. May we all go forth from this time on. I sat in my seat this morning and prayed, "Lord, something needs to change in my life. I want to be more like You. I want to be more prayerful. I want to be more hopeful. I want to be more godly. I want to be more pure. I want to be more righteous. I want to be more like You." From this day forward, may we each have that kind of a commitment, that from this day forward, my life is going to be different. Continually improving. That's our goal. Continually becoming more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Without hope, we grope in darkness, without direction or guidance. Without hope, we grope in darkness, without direction or guidance. We wander through the maze of confusion, not knowing or having any sense of accomplishment, without hope. But we have hope this morning. We have little sense of well-being or thought of deliverance from the world we are trapped in, without hope. There's no hope. Without hope, we continue to decimate our souls unto destruction, without hope. However, when we acknowledge God Almighty, we at the same time begin to establish our foundation of hope. And not just hope, but hope that is goes beyond. As we walk in life and as we begin to see a light, the light at the end of the tunnel, as we begin to look out over life and begin to look ahead a little bit, we wonder, well, what's out there? With hope, with a love of the Lord Jesus in our heart, with that kind of a hope within us, that's when joy begins to manifest itself more and more in our life. I wonder sometimes if part of the reason, this can't be the whole reason, but part of the reason that we sometimes are a bit unjoyful is because we don't have a hold of that hope that we have. That God has given us. To grab hold of the hope that God has given us is to also at the same time, we can't help but let that joy show forth also. We will exhibit that joy that comes in the morning of peace and expectation. Expectation of a better future and joy unspeakable that transcends all realization at this moment in time. When we look forward and we open up our eyes to the hope that God has given us, that He offers to us. The future looks bright. It is bright. Hope is a power like none other. With hope, we soar on eagle's wings. With hope, we rise above the chains of bondage that are otherwise impossible to break. From hope, hopelessness, to glory. Hope is a miracle that gives freedom to any prisoner of discouragement. And then Grandma Pat has experienced this. Again, I don't know everything. I don't hardly know how to say this except to say that it has been an amazing reality, an amazing miracle. As we look at, because of the scriptures, because of what God has told us, we look at Grandma Pat's body and know that that soul has exchanged, has experienced a miracle. The miracle of going from death to life. That miracle when hope is turned to reality. When faith is turned to sight. And prayer to praise. On her memory card here on the back, they have the little song there, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I know Grandma Pat said that. I once was lost, but now I'm fine, but blind, but now I see. Paul talks about in the 1 Corinthians there in the 15th chapter, he says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for that trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible and shall be changed. From this corruptible, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Death is swallowed up in victory. And he goes on and says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Paul says the sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jude says this, Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. So this morning, here we are. None of us knows who's going to be next. But all of us have the opportunity now to decide my eternal future. It's because God has given us hope. It's because the reality is that if we change from that sinful man, get born again, become a spiritual man, become a believer in Jesus Christ, one who walks with him, one who obeys him, one who has idolized is not the right word. Worshipped him. And worship him today. We go from that to this. We all have that opportunity today to make the choice. And I know most of you have. There may be some sitting here who have not. Think with me just briefly. Maybe I'll speak to those who have not made that choice. And I don't know who you are. Let's say you're laying in this casket. What would be said about you? More than that, what's God going to do with you? I once was lost, but now I'm fine. Was blind, but now I see. I'd like if we could all stand together and let's have a prayer together. Lord Jesus, we stand before you this morning. And we have a lifeless body in front of us. We are very confident of your sacrifice, that because of that, the soul that lived in this lifeless body and the soul that will live in our lifeless body someday can be kept from eternal damnation and saved unto eternal life. We believe that. So thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And now I pray, Father, as we move forward in life, for your grace to be with us, to give us the strength, to give us the power, to give us the desire to walk holy lives, to walk holy before you. Because someday we all will be in this condition of Grandma Pat. Help us, Lord. And then, Lord, we just want to thank you also for the hope beyond that, for the reality that there is hope, that for the reality that our faith will turn to sight, our prayers to praise. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Help us each one to worship you, to come to find you, to grab hold of you, to hold on to you, to love you, to worship you. And I again, Father, pray for the others, the family here, whoever is affected, whoever has been affected by Grandma Pat. Pray, Father, for them and for all mankind, but for them especially, Father. I know that I don't know how it's going to be someday. I don't know if someday we will know all those we affected or influenced. I don't know. But I thank you, Father, for her influence in our lives. We love you. We worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Amen. She has gone on before us. I was reminded of another lady in the Bible, and I thought I would just share that before I read the obituary here, but there was this woman that came to Jesus, and she washed his feet with tears and wiped it with her hair. And Jesus said these words, "She hath done what she could." Grandma Pat hath done what she could. And we're grateful. We have been blessed with what she has done. But now, it's us. Let us do what we can. While it is yet day, while we still have opportunity, while the Lord gives us breath and life, that we might do what we can. We're blessed. It's been mentioned our daughters were the recipients of her cheerleading, talking about them writing, and she was there, one of their greatest cheerleaders. It's our turn. Let's do what we can. So amen. And thank you, Brother Mark, for those words of encouragement to all of us. The obituary, Patricia Folk Wright, August 16th, 1932 to October the 7th, 2025. Patricia Folk Wright, 93, slipped peacefully into the arms of Jesus Tuesday, October the 7th, 2025 at home. Born in Cleveland, Ohio, she was the daughter of the late Gaylord A. and Audrey Barkalow Folk. Pat had a varied work history. Upon graduating from Bowling Green State University with a BS degree in elementary education, she began as an elementary school teacher, but soon stopped to become a full-time mother. After her eldest son began school, she became a real estate agent, later becoming a licensed real estate broker. Over the course of time, she switched careers to become a loan officer for private mortgage firms and remained in the private lending field until her retirement in her 70s. Pat was politically active most of her adult life, including serving as president of the Parma Republican Club in Parma, Ohio, for 10 years. Pat also became a member of Parma South Presbyterian Church and served there several years as an elder. To be close to family, Pat moved to Virginia, where her life was dramatically changed. She put away politics, embraced Anabaptism, and joined Pilgrim Christian Fellowship in Stewart's Draft, Virginia, where she was baptized as a member on July 9, 2017. She moved later to Pennsylvania to join her eldest son and became a faithful member of Living Hope Christian Fellowship. Pat was an avid reader and an enthusiastic encourager to young writers. Her generosity and love for people showed in many ways. In her late years, Pat faithfully spent much of her time in his word and interceding for others. Surviving are two children, Duff Brown, husband of Kathy, and Dana Brown, husband of Kristen. Three grandchildren, Heather Ritchie, wife of Seth, Sarah Neal, wife of Joseph, and Mackenzie Brown. And five great-grandchildren, Edith Ritchie, Maggie Ritchie, Lydia Ritchie, Carly Ritchie, Caleb Ritchie, and one Neil on the way. And one sibling, Marilyn Eske of North Carolina. In addition to her parents, she was preceded in death by one sibling, Janet Nordberg. All right. With that, if you would all remain seated, the ushers will open the casket again for a final viewing, and they will also usher you out, so just remain until you are ushered out. The family will have a private final viewing here, so all of us, as we are ushered out, can proceed out to the graveside and wait for them there. So at this time, we'll look to the ushers.